Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. It is Tuesday, and with so much going on, what do we do? What are we doing? Talking about Skittles. Well, no, first there was a basket of deplorables, and now we've transitioned to yet another, basin-like container. We're talking about a bowl of Skittles, and if you've completely missed what's going on, I guess Donald Trump Jr. put up a little thing on his Instagram, and it said, if I had a bowl of Skittles and I told you just three would kill you, would you take a handful? Meaning, take a few of them out. And then right underneath it, it says, that's our Syrian refugee problem. And he's referring to, of course, this program now that we're bringing over a huge amount of refugees into the country and perhaps not quite fully vetting them or figuring out who they are. And here is what I think is wrong with this. Nothing. That's right. That was the sound of dead air. Nothing is wrong with what he said because he's 100% right. For Pete's sake. Let me tell you a little story. This story, I hope, will illustrate why the media's collective giant enormous hissy fit is going to absolutely fall on deaf ears. One of the things I love to ask, I do a lot of interviewing at the office. And those of you who know and have followed the program know that we have, you know, something around 65 employees. And from time to time, I'll sit down with the prospective hire and I'll always ask him one question. It's a key, important question. Do you know what I always ask? I'll tell you, it's a very interesting question. I always want to test how risk adverse an employee is or isn't. And so I will ask them about 100, I'll give them a hypothetical. There's 100 boxes. You walk into this, you walk into a warehouse and you see 100 boxes. Are you following me so far? Okay. And those 100 boxes, 99 of them each contain $1 million. But one box, it has sudden death. And then I asked them to tell me how many, if any at all, they would take. And you know, this is a very informal study conducted by yours truly. Do you know what most people answer? None. Most people answer none. Do you know why? Most people are very risk adverse. And most people want to feel safe. Most people don't want to get blown up when they're out and about on the street in New York. Most people don't want to get mugged. Most people, you know, in fact, sometimes alarmingly so, people even are willing to give up their civil liberties just for the feeling of safety and comfort and security. And so... So now, what did he actually say? Is he saying in this, look, there's a bunch of people we're letting in, and who knows? You know, maybe a handful of them any handful that ends up in your own backyard, one of them may radicalize. One of them may go off the rails, like this Rahmani character, or like the other guy in St. Cloud, Minnesota, or like the Tsarev brothers. And the list goes on and on and on, of course. And the media is just having a hissy fit about it. You know why? Because I always try to explain to you why. So you understand, you've heard all the noise, all the dissonance, everybody getting the vapors. You've heard it all during the day. And I'm going to tell you why the media is so gosh darn fixated on this. Because they think that this is the Trump deplorables moment. Ever since deplorables got dropped on the scene, you know, the left and not just the Clinton people and not just the political left, but especially the media, the people that carry water for him. They're obsessed with this. You know what? We got to catch Trump in the same thing. A little tat for the well, not going to send it. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying? They're looking to get, they were looking for the Trump answer. And they think they got it here. And there's a couple problems with it. One, it rings true. It's a metaphor, okay? It's metaphorical language. Trying to turn it, you know, you saw the Twitter responses. People putting up pictures of kids, you know. I'm a parent. It's heart-wrenching. But that's not the debate. You know, since when do you throw out common sense and reason just because you feel sorry for some kids? I mean, and I don't want to trivialize it like that, but this is how it's being presented by the political left. So now, number one, it's a metaphor. The deplorables thing was an actual description, it was an actual adjective description for a bunch of people, millions of Americans, who, might I add, are here legally, are entitled to be here, have a claim, have a birthright to this country. See, it all ties together. You know, it might be, you know, again, if you're a liberal and you're literally right now about to go into a conniption fit over what I'm saying, just breathe. Take a deep breath. We'll get through this. I should, you know, really, some of this show could always come with a trigger warning. So what we're talking about here is this the Skittles thing. What's it all about? So there's a little bowl of Skittles on the Instagram picture. And it's that Skittles, the company, you know, Mars, Skittles chimed into this, and they're big, you know, left wing nutters. And they, you know, they said, well, the candy is candy, but Syrians are people. Yeah, of course they are. We get it. And some of these people have come here. Some of these immigrants that we let into the country come here and do damage to us. So this is something we ought to consider. And again, the other problem, I mean, it's just so basic, but it's a big difference to me when a campaign surrogate, even if it's Donald Trump Jr., says something, and when it's the candidate herself. That's a huge difference. Where are we kidding? You know, I know. This is a struggle. And let me just say one more thing. So Hillary's in hiding. She's letting all this play out. The best thing Hillary can do right now is stay hidden. This is perfect. I guarantee you, believe me, her sitting it out right now is part of a greater strategy. I know. Everybody's thinking that you're hearing people on the right get so gleeful. Hillary has disappeared. She's nowhere to be found. She's abdicating the race. No. Trust me, every time Hillary shows up, every time Wobbles gets up on stage and gets out in the public eye, her numbers drop. They plummet. And have you noticed how she's doing a lot of call-in interviews? She's probably hooked up to gosh knows what kind of medical equipment, but she's doing these call-in interviews. So she's sending out a proof of life, but she's doing it in the least visual, just hiding out. But it's good. And in the meantime, you know, Trump is out there and he's of course out there very robust and going from event to event and drawing huge crowds. And so it'll be interesting. Now, of course, come Monday, she's got an appointment, does she not? And this debate, everyone's speculating about how spectacular it's going to be. Believe me, the basket of deplorables is going to come out. Terrorism, you know, what safety is one of the Homeland Security is one of the topics that's going to be in the debate. So I promise you, you'll hear it here first. They're going to get into that. And of course, I think they're it'll be interesting because Trump's right. It's going to take a lot of stamina for Hillary to get through. How long is the debate? Instead of 2 hours, 2.5 hours, hour and a half. It'll be the longest hour and a half of Hillary Clinton's life. Let me ask you this. What do you think? How scared do you think? Not scared, but can you imagine how she must? She has everything riding on it. She has more riding on this in many ways than Trump does. It's really his to lose. And again, everybody's saying, well, the people are worried. You know, they're saying Trump's going to do this. He's going to blow it. He's going to. All that minimizes expectations. But of course, with all this ridiculousness about Skittles and about the race mechanics, we have some very serious issues going on, don't we? And we have more information about the bombings that occurred in New York and New Jersey. And more information has come out about Ahmad Khan Rahami. And again, he is the suspect. He has now been formally charged for the bombings. And more information has come out about his trip to Pakistan. We talked about that yesterday. I told you how he went to Pakistan. He'd been radicalized there. He'd gone for a trip that had changed him profoundly. His friends testified that when he came back from that trip, he now began dressing in traditional garb. And so the question you have to ask, and the part that blows me away is, so he comes back from this trip, he becomes a total radical, and where are the authorities? Okay, where are they? Are they looking into him? Because he tries to bring a wife back at this point in time. He's got a wife over there. He's petitioning to get her visa approved. He's actually calling his congressman. You know this? He's reaching out to his congressman. So he's making all these contacts with the government. Read the FBI. Read Homeland Security. At the same time, he's putting crazy stuff on the internet, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. So anyone looking at his application should go and should look at his Facebook. Look at his parents. Look at what his siblings are putting up on Facebook. It's not pretty. And where were the authorities? And, you know, I really always like to get at I mentioned this yesterday. I believe that at the root of this is this dangerous politically correct narrative, this refusal, almost this willful blindness to seeing that when somebody is putting up radical Islamic stuff on their Facebook, hello, it's a problem. But when you have the president of the United States get up and say things like, well, you know, really, it's not Islamic terrorism. It's terrorism. And people are saying Hillary's talking tough. And I saw the speech that they're referring to. Talking tough. She's calling it an act of terror. Well, no duh. Of course it's an act of terror. But you forgot an important word. Islam. And it's something that has to be examined. Now, we talked about it at great length yesterday, and I just want to add a little bit to it here in the next segment, because and we talked about how this is Islamic supremacy, right? And it's not everybody who practices Islam, but it's certain people who are Orthodox and practice Islamic supremacy, meaning that Islam above all else, and as a political doctrine. And when people put that kind of stuff on Facebook, the authorities ought to take notice. So the big thing is, what happened here? I don't know. I do know. Somebody ought to have looked and checked into this guy. So apparently, he set out a few of these pressure cooker bombs, and now there's a discussion of where did he learn how to make them, because they apparently were done in a fairly sophisticated way. And you also got to remember this. Making a bomb is dangerous. It's a dangerous business. And it's something that if you're a novice, I mean, how do you do it without blowing yourself up? And then two, of course, you're not building it very quickly. So you're building it in your house, and you're telling me that, oh, your dad didn't notice, your mom didn't notice, your brother, your sister, your friends, nobody noticed. I'm telling you, everybody that is around this family is knee deep in this. And, you know, and ultimately the consequences of this, you know, are theirs to bear as well. So when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about this guy, Rahami's, his sister's Facebook feed, because she's got some interesting stuff on there. And some of it is almost exactly what we were talking about here yesterday. It's almost like somebody listened to Sam Nation and then decided to write a news story about it the next day. That never happens, right, Rob? Okay, when we come back, a little more Facebook and some other good stuff on Sam Nation. Sam Rogowski, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
What are you guys doing today?
Hey, this is Dr. Drew.
And I'm Mike Cassidy.
And Mike, this one is for you. In addition to calls, we will be discussing the fact that you can now create a regulatory system for cow farts. Cow farts.
No methane, no peace!
That and more on the next Midday Live with Dr. Mike Catherine on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
I want to know if that was a real cow fart. Because I know, look, I know Dr. Drew is an expert in all things, but it sounded a little fishy to me. Okay, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And we are talking all about, well, we're talking about the news, as per usual. Going through the day's events and getting my take on it so that you get the right side of the story. Just right before the break, I was telling you that Ahmad Khan Rahami's sister is a pretty active Facebooker. And before I get to what she posted, let me go back a little bit to some of the things that I talked about yesterday. I believe, so it's, here's the scoop on the word terrorist, Islamic terror, and all that good stuff that everybody's debating in the news. It is important to understand where the enemy is coming from. Now, when I look at act after act of Islamic terror, whether it is the attack on Charlie Hebdo, okay, the cartoon headquarters, the magazine headquarters in Paris, France. Remember, they printed up some depictions of the Prophet Muhammad and then were attacked by a gang of terrorists, and they were all murdered viciously in their offices. I'm dealing with some, when I look at that, I look at what happened with the Tsarev brothers in Boston. I look at what, which is the Marathon bombers, right? And when I look at what's going on here with this guy, with this Rahami guy who places a bunch of bombs around New Jersey and New York. Look, there's one common thread there, and I want to understand why. Because of course, I know people who are Muslim, and they're perfectly fine and normal and great people, and so I'm always curious. I go, well, what's the story here? And I've been told, and I'll share that with you, what I understand is that it all depends on the level of orthodoxy. In other words, how seriously you take the stuff that is written in the book, right? That's written down. Now, you know, every religion has this, right? Every religion has a degree to which you follow it and how strictly you adhere to it. And that's fairly normal. But here, Islam is a little bit different because, you know, you have this in the doctrine, okay, you have a set of political ideology on top of just on top of whatever religious creeds and things are put in there. So let me give you an example of this. All right, So what we talk about here, so there's this concept, and it has to do with the not just laws that are religious, but laws that are temporal. So you hear about things like rules on what women should wear. Okay. You learn about what, you know, what kind of punishments you get for adultery, but not just adultery, also civil law, right? Things like how, you know, what kind of interest should be borne. Have you heard about this, like Sharia law, that there's Sharia compliant banks now in Europe and other places because you're not allowed to charge interest. But this is a rule that is in the Quran that says you're not allowed to charge interest. So you're supposed to follow that rule. But it has nothing to do with the religion, right? And now it controls something outside of the religion. So now there's also this thing about oneness. It's called Tawhid, okay? And here is what Aziza, the sister, posted up on Facebook. Now, I put pictures of my kids on Facebook, but here's what she puts up on Facebook a little while back. And it's a picture of Al-Awaki. And he's the guy, he's the preacher who gets taken out by a drone, a crazy radical preacher. And here's what he writes. And it's one of his quotes, and she's got it posted up on her Facebook. "The law of Allah should not be voted over. To give the people the choice whether to apply Sharia or not reflects a fundamental problem in the understanding of Tawhid." See, and that's the problem. And that's exactly what we were talking about yesterday, is you've got people who are not always, look, there's the people that are Muslim and they believe in the law of the land. They believe in the Constitution. They say that takes priority. But then there's many that don't. And it's a dangerous thing, in my opinion, to open our doors and let people like this in who don't believe that our law of the land is superior above their religious books. So when we get back, I want to talk a little bit about Hillary and how and who's her fundraiser. This is interesting stuff. All right, Sam Berjofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Welcome back. Sam Berjofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. And I'm going to switch gears here for a minute and share with you a really, well, it's an interesting story. Okay, so picture this, right? I know Brangelina and all that. I could talk about that. This is a regular family where things were just perfect until they fell apart. Now, I know it sounds sad, but don't. There's kind of a funny bit here because apparently this family lives in Larchmont, New York. And they had, it appeared, the picture-perfect life, called the Cunninghams. And Michael, he was a successful guy, had a 41-year-old stay-at-home mom, wife. She drove a Porsche Cayenne, ferried the kids around, soccer, basketball, everything, up and down. And then suddenly, I'm reading this article, I'm just giving it to you as I read it. Apparently, their American dream just fell apart. Because why? Well, apparently, Michael learned that his wife, who had claimed to have been born and raised in Milan, Italy, was in fact an illegal immigrant from Mexico. So I'm reading this. And I'm going, well, all right, well, what's the big deal? I mean, I continue reading on, and it says that apparently that while she was living in Colorado after she'd moved here, but before she had met her husband, she changed her name to DKNY Swarovski. No, I'm serious. Well, DKNY, like the brand, you know, like the clothes. Donna Karan, New York. And Swarovski, like the crystals. Like, it's like, you know, changing your name to Prada Gucci. Or, I don't know, Louis Vuitton. I don't know. This is crazy. So right. I'm thinking to my head at this point. Really? This guy figured out, like, his whole world, he figured out she was nuts when exactly? When she lied to him about her background? What? You know, if I met somebody and she said, my name is DKNY Swarovski, I'd run for the hills. Go figure. Anyway, Back to politics. Someone named Wobbles in the news. Not DKNY. So Hillary, Wobbles Clinton. You know, I'm telling you, if have you heard about Trump's fundraising successes? Because if you were to listen to the drive-bys, if you were to listen to the mainstream media, you would think this guy's campaign was in the financial toilet. I mean, that's what they've been telling us this whole time. Right? Everywhere I turn, oh, he's behind in the money race. He's behind in the money race. And of course, my response to it has always been the conventional playbook on how an election works and plays out has been ripped to shreds. Who cares if he's behind in the money race? He's talking over the media. He's talking beyond political ads, and he's speaking directly to the public, and he's connecting. And it's priceless. So guess what happened? Trump is apparently breaking all records with small donors. He's getting millions of dollars in small donor donations. So much so that he's virtually neck and neck with Clinton. He's neck and neck with Clinton, but most of his donations are all coming from people who are sending $5, $10, $20. You remember who else did this? Remember that guy? What's his name? Obama. That's right. Barry. He did this. Of course, when he was doing it, it was getting great attention, right? Oh, he's got mass support. He's got mass appeal. Everybody loves him. Little mom and pops all across the country are writing him $5 checks. Someone else did this, of course, too, if you'll remember. That's right. Bernie did it, too. Now, what they said about Obama was true, of course. It ended up in that race. The guy that got all the small dollar donations was the guy who won. It's an indicator. And when I say that Hillary Clinton's a top fundraiser, you know when it all spiked? Basket of deplorables. That was the single greatest gift Hillary gave to Trump's campaign. I'm telling you, he's making tons of money. All right. And with all this going on, well, Obama has his head in the sand, and we're going to play you some clips and explain to you why. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
We shall fight on the airwaves. We shall fight on Twitter and Facebook. We shall broadcast our program, whatever the cost may be. And if Sam Nation lasts for 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour.
And welcome back, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. All right. Have you ever been in a car accident? It's kind of scary, you know? I mean, sometimes, I mean, you know, even a small impact, you know, it can be loud. Feels like a giant pop. And what if it's a serious accident? I mean, that's even a bigger deal. And then it happens, the paramedics come, you know, hopefully you're more or less okay. Maybe you're hurt. Now, maybe you're not. Maybe you've got something seriously wrong. And then you think, what am I going to do next? What's my next step? And that's when the real trouble starts, because now you're going to get, you know, you got to talk to the insurance company, and they, you know, they're going to give you the runaround, and you think, I'm just going to come, I'm going to go to them, palms up, and help them and give them everything they need, and they're going to take care of me. Wrong. That's not how it works. You got to get some help. Don't talk to anybody. Make one call and one call only. And who? To Sweet James. That's right. Attorney James Bergner. He's the only attorney we trust here on the program. And there's a good reason for it. He's somebody who's got great results, knows how to wrestle these insurance companies and get things done. And most importantly, he'll protect you and your rights. So what do you need to do? You give him a call. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021, or go to his website, sweetjames.com. All right. So, with all this going on, with the big, there's number one topic in the news is global terror. You've got you've got Hillary Clinton, who's running on this platform of hear no evil, see no evil, or as we call it here, hear no jihad, see no jihad. What do we got? We have Obama at the UN. Brilliant. Could the timing be any worse of this? Because of course he's there with all the crackpot dictators. You know, he's there with the, you know, with the president of Iran, and he's there with all these countries that literally want to wipe us and Israel off the map. But oh no, we're going to roll out the red carpet to these goofballs and have them show up at the UN. And then, as adding insult to injury, we have our president sitting there apologizing for us. Well, let me give you an example. So let's play the first clip.
And as these real problems have been neglected, alternative visions of the world have pressed forward, both in the wealthiest countries and in the poorest. Religious fundamentalism, the politics of ethnicity or tribe or sect, aggressive nationalism, a crude populism, sometimes from the far left, but more often from the far right, which seeks to restore what they believe was a better, simpler age free of outside contamination.
Blech! I don't like contamination either. That's why I don't want to eat any poisonous Skittles. I mean, look, who is he talking about? Who's that far-right contaminator? It's the orange man from Manhattan. That's who. And here's the thing. When you go to the UN, it's kind of the same thing as when you travel abroad. You know what when you get married, they give you, people gave me great advice. They say, don't ever criticize your wife to other people. You know, you're going to have problems. You're going to have arguments. You're going to have fights. Solve those at home. When you're out and about, there's nothing less attractive than that guy or that gal that complains about their spouse. And you know who I'm talking about. Well, it's the same thing when you're the president of the United States of America, the United States of America. That means you're even president of all those deplorables out there. And you go abroad or you go to the UN, don't slam us. And he's making a political speech here at the UN. And it's not a political speech vis-a-vis the world. It's a political speech vis-a-vis our legitimate domestic political discourse. This guy cannot stay away from, and I almost get the feeling, and now hear me out on this, I almost get the feeling that he wants to sabotage Hillary Clinton. I mean, this does not help her case. It's either that or he's so completely tone deaf to what's going on, because you've got a whole movement sweeping the country that doesn't want any more world apology tours. We're done. We're sick of it. So this is, I'm telling you, it's hilarious. And this on the heels, have you heard about Angela Merkel, German chancellor, the number one proponent of letting Syrians in to Europe? Bring them in. Yes, we can, she said. Well, she's expressing some regrets. Maybe I wouldn't have done that if given a chance to redo it all over again. All right. Couple more of these great quotes from Obama. We'll play a couple more clips when we come back. You don't want to miss this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Well, you just laughed it off. It
was all okay. This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk radio. 790 KABC. Oh yeah, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. Hot on the trail of stupidity, wherever it might be found. plenty of it going around. And I try always to bring you a dose, a healthy dose of common sense and a bit of a reality check at the end of every day. So Obama went to the UN and we were just talking about it, how, you know, I don't like people going, our politicians going abroad and getting wading into politics, not global politics, but our domestic politics. Let's solve our problems at home, not when we go out. So, but of course, Obama never does. He loves to always wade into this. And so, now, of course, on the day of Skittles, on the day of all this, you know, talk about Syrian refugees, what does he do? He literally answers Donald Trump Jr.'s Instagram post on the floor of the UN. Okay, think about how absurd this is. So roll the tape. 19. Roll the tape. 12. Excuse me.
We have to open our hearts and do more to help refugees who are desperate for a home. We should all welcome the pledges of increased assistance that have been made at this General Assembly gathering. I'll be discussing that more this afternoon, but we have to follow through even when the politics are hard.
Yeah, got to take all the Skittles in. I don't care what colors they are. In fact, he addresses, I think, the colors of Skittles here. There's another place where he starts to talk about how people look different. You know, you got to get past people looking different. You know, he talks about this. Play clip number 8.
And in Europe, in the United States, you see people wrestle with concerns about immigration and changing demographics and suggesting that somehow people who look different are corrupting the character of our countries.
Oh, my gosh. I literally do not care what you look like. I don't care if you wear a turban. I don't care if you're black, white, if you're purple. I don't care. I don't care. But where I draw the line is you've got to come into, if our country, we have a constitution, we have free speech, we should be allowed to say what we think and what we believe without fear of being shot and killed. I mean, when people in France are saying, hey, maybe we should reconsider our policy of multiculturalism and allowing every immigrant in the country, because, you know, when we had an entire magazine killed, summarily executed, because they dared what? Publish a picture of the Prophet Muhammad? Like, that is that? I mean, that isn't, this is not a question of people looking, of discrimination against people who look different. This isn't racism. This is a legitimate concern for public safety and security. And it's exactly what I said. I going back to what I said at the beginning of the program today, I talked about why that Instagram post of Donald Trump Jr. that everybody's having a hissy fit over. Why it's actually resonating, why it has traction, because everybody understands that sense of wanting to be safe, about wanting to be secure. And the problem has been always that from the left, we're told by Obama and everybody else that, look, you just don't want these people here because they look different. You don't want these people here because you're intimidated or you're offended or you're unreasonably prejudiced against these folks that come from different places. And we've never been a country that does that. You know, we've accepted immigrants from all over the world. My whole neighborhood is filled with Chinese people. Many of them don't even speak English. And I'm fine with it. And you know why? Because they don't want to blow me up. That's it. Show me a Chinese terrorist, a Mormon one, an Italian, a Mexican. No, they're all coming from a region and they're all coming with a religion. I'm not saying everybody from that region and everybody with that religion, but is a terrorist. But certainly all these terrorists are coming from this place and have a certain ideology. And so I, on this program, want to explore what that ideology is. I want to get at it. We should We should know what it is that we're facing. And we certainly, whether you agree or disagree with me, we should fight for my right to say it and for your right to say it and to listen to it. And that's what America is all about. So, yeah. Oh, I'll leave you with this. Apparently, Inspire magazine. Yeah, this is good. They just published a thing. They're the magazine, the terrorist magazine. If you are sincere in your intentions to serve the religion of Allah, then all you have to do is enter your kitchen and make an explosive device. Oh my gosh. So much good stuff. All right, well, back tomorrow, 7 p.m., Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.